It's 88.5 KCSN, and that is music from Brian Fallon. And that is his new one, A Wonderful Life. He, of course, of the Gaslight Anthem. Well, we have lit the lantern for this evening because we are getting ready for the KCSN benefit concert. And I am joined now by Maya Sharp. Maya.
Hello.
We have been discussing the fact that, that you know your way around CSUN better than most.
Well, I know my way around the way it was.
I was
here from 88 to 92, so I was here before the quake. So I can't even count the things that have changed.
Including this
building. Since then, but everything for the better, man. This is incredible.
In the Valley Performing Arts Center where you're going to play.
Beautiful.
I know,
yeah.
Right? It's great.
And it used to just be a big lawn where we played softball. So I think it's a little bit better now.
Well, I don't know if you got our original invitation for you to play the benefit. It was going to be on a lawn.
Oh.
But then we decided that the VPAC might be better.
Yeah, I pulled a couple strings and got off the lawn.
For you. It was because you're such an honored alumni that we wanted to make sure you played in the fancy joint.
Yeah, I don't know. I smell something funny.
We're here to have fun. Now, we first want to say thank you because it does mean a lot to us that you are playing the benefit. So thank you.
Well, thank you for existing. You know, L.A. has needed you for a long time, so thank you.
We appreciate that, and we're here for the artist, and I think you know that firsthand. Let's talk about the new record, The Dash Between the Dates. A question I would ask you, and Maya Sharp is joining us if you're just tuning in. You are a performer, a songwriter, a producer.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask a question. When the latter two, the performer and producer, gives a song to someone else to interpret, is that an easy thing to do? or how have you gotten your head around that? Because, you know, you're normally the person who decides how that song is going to sound in so many ways.
That's a interesting angle on it. I think maybe because I started out as the songwriter. My very first success was, it was back in 1996, and I wrote a song for Cher. And I felt the thrill of that, of somebody else choosing to use a slot on their album. You know, maybe it's 11 songs, maybe 13 at the most, and they're getting pitched hundreds, thousands of songs, and they decided to sing mine on their album. So that, you know, just the compliment of that and the validation of that, I think it never really went away. So anytime somebody decides that they want to perform one of my songs, I'm really okay with it. And it's usually a little different than how I would have done it. But often I hear something in their performance that then I steal for my version later. I've done that a couple times. One of the Bonnie songs.
Right.
The Bet I Made, I did after she did it. And she did such a beautiful job on it and did a couple, new things that I shamelessly stole. The Dixie Chicks, they added a new harmony into their version of my song, which I waited a couple of years and then I stole their thing. Been very lucky.
By the way, sometimes they are listening, the chicks are listening, so she didn't really steal. She paid tribute to your version of the song, just so you
That's
guys
right.
know.
Homage.
Yes. Natalie once came up with a great, when she came in, she said, because obviously you know her father's been in the business forever,
yeah.
And so
she
knows how the business works, the business. And she said, hey man, my daddy taught me a third for a word.
That's right.
So, you know, you get whereof I speak.
Right, right. Add a third, get a word. No, add a word, get a third, sorry.
Yeah. So, let's play a song first, and we're going to talk about the new record, and we're going to talk about a song that you clearly know how to win a DJ's heart when you title a song Nothing But the Radio.
I know, you totally fell for it, man. I'm pandering.
Yeah, well, you know what? Listen, the egos of most radio people, put the song, talk about the radio being the muse for well, many fun things.
Right.
You got us eating out of your hand. So let's play that, and we're going to come back and talk about the new record. And then we're also going to talk with Maya Sharp about the fact that you're going out with a friend and a collaborator on a full-scale tour, as well as playing tonight at the Valley Performing Arts Center. But Maya Sharp is here with us. We're going to play some song that you know all well by now on KCSN. And that, of course, is our guest, Maya Sharp, who is with us today. Nothing But the Radio from her new album, Dash Between the Dates. In talking about Dash Between the Dates, I noted that one of the things you were, you know, dealing with originally, which I find really crazy, that you would start to write songs for a record when you felt you were in the middle of a writer's block.
Well,
was that the case, or is that just how it's been passed through? You know, has it evolved into the?
It's like an operator.
Yeah.
Chain.
Yeah.
No, there's something to that. I hadn't ever really experienced that. It just kind of, you know, something that I had taken for granted that I was always going to have ideas and be passionate about those ideas. I'm not saying that they all, you know, would have come to something or be successful, and you know, but I would have been excited about them, and that just kind of always was there. It flowed, and then it just kind of, you know, ebbed a little bit there. And the way out of it wasn't to get bogged down in the, okay, who might be looking for songs? Let me try to write for them, or this is on the radio now. Let me see if I can kind of do that, but also try to predict what might be next in a year when my song is actually released. Blah, 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 blah. Like, that's just how to, you know, spiral yourself out. So
yeah.
I just, you know, when I had to write myself out of this kind of writer's shrug, the only way to do it was to just write something for me. And it was time to make another album. And also in the past, I had always had a number of songs kind of waiting in the wings, like, okay, this is my last year or two worth of songs. These are what is, you know, will fit on the next album. And I didn't really have that. I had a couple things here and there, but they didn't feel like they were one.
They weren't soup.
They weren't going to fit on one thing. And it wasn't really soup yet, you know, maybe dishwater. It wasn't soup yet. So I dug in, I started in, and actually the title cut was one of the first songs. There's a song on there called Phoenix, which was the other one. And Phoenix is, you know, it's about, you know, kind of rising, you know, obviously it's the Phoenix.
Right.
It just, you know, rising from what you thought was, you know, maybe gone. And, it really has to start fresh. I was kind of trying to make life imitate art. If only I could find the art again that I wanted to do. And once the wheel started to turn again, it worked, and we had, you know, a theme for the album, and so I could write along those lines, and it just kind of it finally got out of it.
Even as you discussed that, the fact that as someone who has been a successful songwriter and other people have chosen your songs to perform, not that you're doing, you know, songs by spec, which a lot of times, you know, some songwriters, many songwriters, and certainly in Nashville, it's, what do you need? I'll write it. You know what people are, quote, looking for, so you have that consciousness. B, as a producer, you're well aware of what the sounds and what's being done in the studios are, and yet you have to kind of, you know, cleanse your own mental palate of, all right, I know all of the things, the tricks of this period and what you're supposed to do, but I want to make an authentic record.
Right, exactly. And here is what I think is the good news, that every single time I've tried to write for something that was asked very specifically. Okay, Faith Hill is looking for this. It's a combination of A and C, and you have to find the B. And okay, it never, ever worked. Not one time ever. When I write something that I feel and I feel a connection, that feeling is what other people feel. So more often than not, when somebody chooses to record one of my songs, it's a song that I never thought they would want. I would have never pitched that song to them, but it's always a song that I feel a connection to. I feel this song. I thought it was just going to be for me over here in the corner, but they felt what I felt. So I finally learned, like, basically shut your brain off and just, if you feel it, they'll probably feel it too. There's a basic human thing where, you know, if a song evokes emotion, if it makes you feel something, it'll probably make somebody else feel something. If it's a formula, if it's, you know, put this, you know, verse over this chorus and make sure you tag it like this and make sure you go to the minor six, that's probably not going to make people feel anything. If it doesn't make me feel, it's not going to make them feel.
Well, and then there's the other side of the song craft, in which perfecting, knowing when a song is as good as you're going to get it. And as a producer, you know, understanding when you have to say, you know what, we can change this a million ways and it'll never be done. It feels right. You have to be able to say to yourself, you know, this is it. I'm walking away.
Right.
Because we know of many artists who never can leave the studio because it becomes, is it as perfect as I can make it? And that that can be a down the rabbit hole experience.
Oh, absolutely. And I get that. You just have to kind of appreciate each album as, you know, the snapshot of where you are now. And you want to take it and preserve it. And maybe you never listen to it again, but that's okay. That was still where you were, and it allows you to put that away, check, cut, print, and move on to the next songs.
At this point, you know, you've had, you know, you would, by your own admission, say, you know, you're grateful for a lot of success in having songs selected by other people. You've made six records now?
I think it's six.
And you've toured relentlessly. What's the most fun? Is it performing? Is it feeling like when you've just created a great, written a song, like, I think I've got something special? Is it coming out of the studio going, oh, I mean, or is it all of the above?
Yeah, I think it's all of it, because I think I need them all to appreciate them all, you know, because they're really, feels so good when you finish a song and you really feel like, wow, you captured something. Maybe it's probably an old feeling because, you know, people have been writing songs for a really long time. So somebody probably wrote about that thing already.
I'd guess that you haven't been the only one who feels some sort of satisfaction after completing a song and going, I think I've got one.
But no, I do feel that. But when I don't feel that, I stay at it. Not like for years and years, but I keep on working at it.
So you take the ego out of it and go, I'm not sure this is it. There, yeah, I can do this.
Oh, of course. Yeah, ego's not your friend, for sure.
No, but sometimes, you know, there's some songs. Do songs just come out of you with absolutely no control on your part? Have you had lightning bolt song experiences, or have you not been fortunate to have that? I grabbed the napkin and next thing you know, I had a million seller.
I mean, I grab the napkin and write a line down, or write, you know, a story point down, or maybe the, the turn of the phrase. But I have friends all the time tell me, I just woke up in the middle of the night and I wrote it all down and it was done in 10 minutes. I'm like, shut up.
Like, who satisfaction.
Asked? Yeah.
Keith had to rip the satisfaction in a dream.
Yeah. And, you know, that's keep that to yourself.
That's great. You know, where do I get the Ambien? I'm ready.
Exactly. Yeah, the Lunestra is like half rider on that.
We're gonna go through every title of every type of sleeping aid now and find the one that we can get an endorsement from. So you're going to be playing tonight at the Valley Performing Arts Center. You got to be excited, right?
I mean,
in the sense of, it's a friend of yours. and oh, collaborator man. With Bonnie, and it's clear that the two of you have bonded as artists. So getting to play where you went to school in your hometown.
It's crazy.
And again, thank you for the fact that you are supporting the radio station with your performance, but it's got to be a thrill, I would assume.
It's a huge thrill. It's an honor, a pleasure, every time. I've known Bonnie for a little over 10 years now, and we have worked together live. I got to sing on her album. She sang on mine. We hang. She's, oh, man. I mean, she is as cool as you think she is. Seriously. You know, you want to hate her a little bit because she's so talented, but then she's so nice. So what are you going
to
do with
and
that?
And then you find yourself saying, you know what? No, I want that person to continue to have success and more.
Oh, my God. And she's, I mean, seriously, did you see her performance on the Grammys last week?
I sure did.
It's crazy. She's good.
She's badass.
She is badass.
She was really
good. We're allowed to say badass.
Oh, yeah. And she owned it. It was a wonderful, heartfelt, obviously, tribute in words. She was eloquent in her words. And she came out on that stage with Gary Clark Jr. and Chris Stapleton, and she said, excuse me, and she just, she took it. And
oh, by the way.
I'm sitting there watching it going, oh, in a week she's going to be playing at our benefit. This is so great.
Yeah, I was there too. I was just like, oh my God, I have to. Well, fortunately, I go first. I don't want to follow that.
So after you saw that performance, you probably went right back into the rehearsal hall and said, I got to make sure I got everything down.
Well, I've seen her perform so many times. I mean, that alone, just having the opportunity to watch her all these times, I learned from every single time. She owns it, but she owns it with humility. Like, how does she walk that line? Like, it's not ego. It's just strength, you know? She's been doing it for so long. I feel like she gets better every time. And she surrounds herself also, by the way, with great band and crew, and everybody's like just a good human and they want to help each other. It's like, any opportunity that I have to share a stage or a room or a salad with Bonnie Raitt, I'm there.
Well, all of the above are happening tonight, and we're so fortunate, both us at the radio station and our listeners, and particularly the people that are going to be coming tonight. You're going on at 8.
Yes.
And so I will, you know, do my radio guy thing and say, she's going on at 8, don't be late. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to get things started. As you've had a certain sense of anticipation, you can imagine how much we have had anticipation for this night. And we really want to thank you. And congrats on the new album.
Thank you.
It's a great album. You know, The Dash Between the Dates. We've been playing songs on it. And the best thing I can say to you is there's a lot of songs on that record we can play, which means you knew when it was soup.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for your support on it. I really appreciate it.
Well, we're going to go back now. And I only do this because I think it's fitting. When you talk about getting to share a stage, a room, and or a salad, this is one of the songs that you did perform with Bonnie going back to Echo. And we'll leave you with this. Maya Sharp on at 8 o'clock tonight. She's been on. We thank her for coming in today. And we can't wait for a couple hours from now when the KCSN benefit concert kicks off. But this is Death by Perfection, and it's Maya Sharp along with Bonnie Raitt on KCSN.
He shook his head and said, we see a lot of this, but it's still so sad. It was done in the hands of someone who didn't know what they had. Used to be so innocent and wild.